This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
All right, well, happy Easter. Cool. Super cool, man. Well, Easter's kind of like the Super Bowl for Christians, you know? So it's kind of like our big day. We really love that. It's something that really, really happened. And sometimes, you know, it's kind of hard when you get way into it to imagine how people, like, really don't believe, you know. It's such an amazing thing. What a fact. Psalm 41 tells us that this is hundreds of years before it happened, that the Messiah who would come would be betrayed by a very close friend. And lo and behold, this is what happened, as we know. Zechariah tells us that strike the shepherd and the sheep would scatter. And we see this happen as well, where all of his buddies ran like sprayed roaches when it got ugly, fulfilling that prophecy. It says also that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and that money would be given to a potter. How crazy is that? Hundreds of years before it happened, right? Psalm 27 tells us that there would be false witnesses that would rise up against him. Other prophecies tell us that his hands and feet would actually be pierced. This was before crucifixion. This is hundreds of years before, that his hands and feet would be pierced. And not just his hands and feet would be pierced, but this would happen for our transgressions. This is how he would suffer. This is why he would suffer. Isaiah tells us that he would be beaten, spit on, mocked. Prophecy tells us that he would be born in Bethlehem. I mean, this is just a few examples. That his clothes would be divided, that he would die among criminals, that he would be buried with the rich. Just amazing stuff, right? How about this? Okay, if that's not good enough for you. How about this? When he would die, at the brightest part of the day, right at noon, the whole world would go dark. How'd you like that for a sign? Like maybe this guy, maybe, right? How about this? A mighty earthquake would happen at that time when he would die. A huge earthquake would happen. Huge rocks would split. Right? You think maybe there's something about this guy. You know, maybe we should listen to what he was saying. The curtain in the temple would rip from top to bottom. Huge, thick curtain. All these are really great studies. And then how about this one? Tombs of godly people opened up, and they come walking into town. Like, how would you like that, you know? Grandma. Ah. How about making some of that pie? I was kidding. I mean, that is amazing. And that he would rise from the dead. Amazing stuff. Pastor Derek's sermon this morning touched on some really cool stuff. So if you want to listen to that, I think that's going to be online too. Really, really amazing stuff. But everything God was doing and is doing and will do is relational. Everything. Everything he's doing is relational, about your relationship with God, your relationship with you, and your relationship with other people and the world. Birds, animals, the earth, everything. I mean, it's all relational, everything he's doing, that we would be able to live, that you would be able to live through the power of how he sees you. How would you like to do that? Not just how he sees you, not just what he's done for you, but what he's done to you. This is big stuff. In order for us to experience this, though, we all have to go through what we call a spiritual awakening. Jesus called it being born again in his famous conversation with Nicodemus. Being born again. I love that phrase so much. Have you had a spiritual awakening? Right? We all have to have it. That is the antidote for all that ails us. And we all have a spiritual awakening in our own way. Right? We all wake up in different ways. Sometimes we wake up because an alarm went off, right? Sometimes we wake up because we're in pain. Sometimes someone else wakes us up. Hey, get up. Right? That's always nice. I'll show you this diagram that I use a lot. I'm going to add a little bit to it, but just to show you a little bit about God's recovery program is one of my favorite diagrams. If you haven't seen it, here it is. Okay, we start off with your physical body, right? There's your physical body, right? Broken body, right? Frail, falling apart. I mean, look at me, for crying out loud. I'm barely here, right? In this body is a person, right? And we're going to diagram that with this triangle here. This is called our personality structure. And yours looks a certain way. That's why it's a triangle. Yours looks a certain way. It's your personality structure. In your personality structure, you've had some stuff happen, right? You've had some things go on. You have some negatives, right? In recovery language, we say, shortcomings, wrongs, right? Defects of character. Like, that's how we say it in recovery circles. We also have some positives, right? And those are some good things about you. Maybe you're a person that's always been able to bounce back or always been kind of a self-disciplined person. So we have some positives, we have some negatives. Now, we have our spiritual awakening. God moves on us. And I remember this so clear, a time when the first time I felt the presence of God, it was like, what in the world is going on, right? And it wasn't just an outside thing. They weren't just flame-throwing and scaring me into a spiritual awakening. It was from within. I was being pulled, like something from within, this presence of love, right? And I had a spiritual awakening. We receive the work on the cross. We believe in the work on the cross, right? We put that little triangle represents that, and that's called the inner man, the inward man, the new creation, right? The Holy Spirit. Look where he's living, right smack in the middle of your person. This is God's recovery program. This is how he does it. I mean, look what I still have to deal with, right? I still have this stuff. This is just kind of introducing this idea. The idea here, too, is that as we grow, this person grows and grows, takes up more and more room, right? I remember the first time I met a pastor. His name actually was Dr. Brown. Some of you guys know him here. And I'd been around as drug addicts and, you know, just horrible people in sexual addiction and the sex trade and just drugs and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, this is the first time I met a guy that had this going on. And he came walking up to me. He was like, hi. And he's like, and I'm like, I was overwhelmed. I'm like, I just started bawling. Like, wah. It's like, why are you crying? I don't know. It's like this presence on this guy. I'm like, wow. I mean, it really moved me. What has this guy got, right? Super cool. Later on, I realized, you know, this is the presence of God on this guy, right? We're called the temple of God, right? How cool is that? Peter says we are partakers of what? The divine nature. You know, I don't know if we can really get our minds around those words. This is what we've really got going on, guys. This is why the scripture tells us that you have been blessed. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. This is potent stuff, guys. Where you stand, your standing, what you carry, what's been given us. And this comes out of a book. Some of these concepts come out of a book study. It's called Corrupting the Image. It's super intense. Don't even read it. The guy's way too smart. Spent most of the time looking up words. So you're made in the image of God. This is part of our identity stuff that we talk about. So if you're made in the image of God, you know, there's a lot of confusion around this, a lot of things I'm trying to get my mind around. What does God look like? God, what does he look like? If I'm made in his image, what does God look like? Do I have a picture of God? Just want to throw some things out here, okay? Check this out, Ezekiel 1:26. Now, Ezekiel's seeing the throne room. This is a vision. He's not in heaven. He's like seeing like virtual reality. It's like he's seeing this like as a vision of some kind. And he's seeing like, imagine wheels and fire and angels. And then on top of them, there's some kind of stage. It's like some kind of platform, right? It's like a firmament. And on top of that firmament, there's a throne, right? So check it out. It says, then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire. Pretty clear. And high above on the throne was a figure that looked like that of a man. And when you look at that word man, it's Adam. So God looks like Adam? No. Adam looks like God. Like, whoa, right? Okay. This is kind of mind-boggling here. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire, like amber. And that from there down, he looked like fire. Brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down. Like, no kidding, right? Like, this is pretty incredible stuff. How would you like to just jump on this guy's lap? Just run up and give him a hug, right? Like, you ever wonder, like, he's the invisible God. He's not going to stay invisible to us. Why is he invisible to us now? I mean, physically, this body, there's no way. Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll just send this out in the next bulletin. We're all going to go down to Fort Pierce, Florida, Hutchinson Island. We're going to meet at the core of the nuclear reactor. And we're going to have some fellowship. Dwight's going to bring some sandwiches, right? We're just going to hang out. And you would be like, you're crazy. We can't do that. Why can't we do that? We're not made for that, right? This core reactor, this whole thing, this brilliance and this amber and this light, when you study some of these Hebrew words and stuff, do it. You're going to be blown away. You get words like electros, where we get the word electricity. How would you like that? Right? Fire, electricity, this person, like this is this guy. I'm not saying he's made of this. I'm just saying this is coming off of this person, this mega electricity and fire and brilliant energy and light, right? So we'll just go to the core of a nuclear reactor. We'll all just hang out and sing some songs, right? Can't do it. All right, forget that. We'll go to a volcano. An active volcano, we're going to go down to the heart, and then we're going to sing some songs, right? Come up with our next book study. Like, we can't do it, right? Why? We're not made for that. Like, we can't possibly go into the nuclear reactor or the volcano. We are broken. I'm broken. Originally, I was made to do that. I was made to go into the presence. Hey, Adam was clothed with brilliant light. So was Eve, right? And when they fell, the lights go out. Oops, I'm naked, right? Like, who turned the light out? Originally, we were designed and made, guys, to shine so brilliant and so bright. We carried the presence of God, and we were designed to reflect His glory, right? So, we see this with Moses, when he hung out for, 40 days? He came down from the mountain and what? Right? But it didn't last very long. Why? Because we're broken. We can't do it. We can't hang on to that. We're not made of the right stuff anymore. Like, this body is fallen. I think in so many ways, when you think about how we walk around these broken ways that you see glory and awesome supernatural stuff, but in fits and starts, it's all broken. We can't kind of wield it. You ever notice that? Like, deja vu, what's that? Like, what is that? I mean, it's a real thing. I remember a piece of plywood being carried on a construction site, and I had that moment where I knew, like, all of a sudden I'm like, I know what's going to be on the other side, right? You're like, and they kept carrying it, and it was like, whoa, it was, right? But what can I do with that? Like, it's broken stuff. Or there's times when Glenn and I be in the same room, and I'll ask her something, and she'll go, I was just getting ready, right? Like, those weird, a lot of weird stuff that we have, these strange abilities and things that we go, what is this? We're broken, though. It doesn't really work anymore. Like, I notice that stuff. The priest would go into the Holy of Holies. Before he would go into the presence of God, you notice he had to abstain from some things. He had to do sacrifices. He had to do all this stuff. Like, put on his hazmat suit, in a way, like a force field, because he was going into the nuclear reactor. He was going into the volcano, in a sense. He's going in and then getting out, like, whoa, like, I made it. And God designed a way for us to be able to do that. Super intense stuff when we do this kind of studying. So we're made in his image. Are we sure this is what he looks like, right? Isaiah 61 says that he saw the Lord seated. Right? If you're sitting, right? If you're sitting, you probably have the ability to sit, right? And his robe filled the temple. All right, how about this? Revelations 1, verse 12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Yeah, there it is again. Dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as the snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. There's that fire again. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars. Out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Heavy duty stuff. Imagine a person with the brilliance of the sun, like 10,000 suns. All right, let me see. I got another one for you. And this is really comforting, guys. This is going somewhere, okay? For people that have lost loved ones, I've got more people over there. You know, they're adding up than over here. Like, it's starting to happen. And this is so encouraging for me to see, you know, what's going on with us and how I'm to live because of this incredible thing. Check this out. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 says, someone may ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be just a seed. Perhaps of wheat, something else. God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Right? And this is called, in John, the seed of God. That's what you have. This is what you carry. I think this is amazing. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds another. Fish another. There are also heavenly bodies. There are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind. Splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor. The moon another. The stars another. Star differs from star in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. This one, it's perishable. Just look at me in the morning, guys. You're going to say, it's perishable. Think it's happening right now, Stan. Think it's on you. But it's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. Guys, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a supernatural, spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. It's written, the first Adam became a living being, the last a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. After that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And check it out. And just as we are born the likeness of the earthly, so shall we bear the likeness of the man of heaven. I read to you guys what he looks like, right? Like, I read to you what he looks like, and so shall you be. as a man from heaven, right? Okay, and I read to you what he looks like, right? I should just keep saying that. Like, Stan, you keep saying that, right? Check it out. As I looked, thrones were set in place. This is Daniel 7:9. The Ancient of Days took his seat. How would you like to see that? The Ancient of Days. Here's our king, guys. This is our God, okay? His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. There it is again. His throne was flaming with fire. Its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and books were open. How would you like to hold court that way? And guess where you're going to be seated? Right next to him, right? Okay. All right, one more. At that time, Michael, the great prince, this is Daniel 12, who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Check it out. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is intense promises, guys. This is intense promises, okay? I had to use a lot of scripture on this. I mean, we see that we truly have treasures in jars of clay, for real, jars of clay. But a treasure, no doubt. Do you have a sacred way of dealing with yourself? How you walk around the house? How you see you, how you deal with you. I mean, do we see what we have been brought into, what we will be? You know, it's like a caterpillar who realizes he's going to be a butterfly, like something in him. It's called a quickening or an awakening. It's this thing that's triggered in him that happens to believers where we know my life is too small and I die and I go into this cocoon thing. And I'm going to become something else. I'm going to become something else. This life's too small. It's too little. This isn't me. And we, at birth out of that is going to be this other kind of being, this other kind of thing. And we all have that thing, that unction within us that have the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in us. We all have that unction to change and to transform from selfishness and this self-focus, this thing that's broken, that's all about me, into this being of light, this being of majesty and justice and life and presence, this thing like this pastor carried that I met, this thing we all have within us. If a snake doesn't shed its skin, it will die, kind of thing. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, those who confess the Lord must turn away from evil, right? It's a must. I've got to do it. I have to. I have to change. I got to turn away from evil. I have to do it. I mean, how wonderful is the Father, right? How wonderful is Jesus? Well, how wonderful are you, right? Does God hear his prayers, right? And he's hearing your prayers in the same way. So there's a now me and there's a future me, right? I think Kaylin's going to help me with that next week, right, Kaylin? The now you, the future you. It's pretty awesome stuff. This inner man, this true identity you carry, this is actually what some people call your higher self. I have a higher self. I have an inner man, right? This higher being within me, right? And that might sound a little new agey. It's not. This true identity, this higher you, is the eternal you. And the eternal me is very calm, very patient, very wise, not in a hurry. Why? I'm eternal. I can be real wise. Like, I found myself, okay, 10 days, guys, my wife's gone to Hawaii. I can start doing the whole, I'm going to white knuckle, right? I'm starting to crave. Like, I can start getting into that. My breathing start going up here, right? But now I come back to my true identity, that my true self, my higher self, my eternal self. He's very calm. He's love. He's patient. He's kindness. He's goodness. I have all I need. Thank you, God. Like, I'm totally, totally okay. Like, I'm totally fine. I can just settle down. And learning how to do that, super, super important. Scripture tells us to labor to enter into God's rest. Isn't that weird? Work real hard to rest. And those who have struggled with any kind of addiction understand, work real hard to rest. Stand in that trusting place. Live. Just sit back and rest in this powerful identity. He's given me this place. He's given me. You can see here, this is like a seed. Jesus used this analogy. The seed, as long as it's in the center, it's in the most tender place, it's going to grow, it's going to produce huge fruit, right? You can see the seed, right? I think Megan touched on this too, about recovery, about the Lord, about the Word, keeping it in the middle. And the Scripture tells us, Jesus told us, that if you push the seed out to the surface, it can get snatched away by the birds, right? Or it can't grow right. It's in the rocks. It's in the thorns. And how we want to keep that right in the middle to get that mad fruit, right? Just get that. Keeping it in the center. Super huge. And I'm not talking about salvation works type thing. I'm talking about seeds and growth. Real power, real fruit. I remember when I first met Glenna, I said, I am so sick and tired of never having anything to give on Christmas, only take. I'm tired of being this person that only takes. And I'm happy to say today, I still don't have anything to give on Christmas. I'm just kidding. Different reasons. I said that I'm thankful to be able to take my mom out to lunch and pay half. That's terrible. Come on, Mom, I forgot my wallet. You know, times are hard. Start bringing up the past. You and Dad were really hard to live with. I'm scarred. Israel camped around the presence of God. That was their way of life. That's how it was to be, right? The very center. I have a new master. I have a new identity. I have a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of life. It's really worth thinking this through. I worked at Fred Meyer for like 7, 8 years. And Austin taking me through the Genesis ruined that for me permanently. Thank you, Austin. I walked through there the other day, and my boss comes up and says, hey, pick up that box, right? Wouldn't it be weird if I threw all my groceries down or ran over? I didn't do it. You know why? I don't work there anymore. I don't have to listen to that anymore, right? There was something in me that thought, right? But I don't have to anymore. And this is what I'm working out, the unctions to listen to that old stuff and standing in my new identity, getting that, you know. And there's some serious time and effort, and this is why groups, accountability, support, understanding, like that unction we have to listen to that old stuff. There's a lot on that. All right. Some things, the enemy comes along trying to get this seed pushed out, trying to keep it from being in the center. Some things we're told we just have to resist. I have a low-grade sense of anxiety and an uncomfortable feeling all the time because I walk in this broken body. I have the flesh. I've done a lot of drugs. I know how to experience all that stuff. So it's always kind of humming, waiting for me to do it. And so I always feel a little bit uncomfortable not doing it. Not a big deal. It's always there. God tells us there are some things we just have to resist, and that we do. Some things we're told, run. Like, run, flee. And that I've done too, right? Dave on the phone, I'm running, Dave. Like, I'm running. Dude, I'm running, right? Some things we're told to take authority over, get behind me. Get behind me, dude, right? Some things we're told to do that with. Some things, it is written. Oh yeah, the Word of God says this, right? We learn to fly by our instruments and not by sight, right? The Word of God says this. This is truth. Boom. I don't care how blind I am, how I can't hear or see, the Word of God says this. I can fly by instruments like a master, right? That's the idea. Amazing stuff. Romans 6, across the board, calls us to fly by instruments only. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff to read. All right, some things resist, some things flee, some things get behind me, some things the Word of God. Some things, guys, it's drop down to your knees, and it's, if you could take this cup from me, please do it, but not my will, yours, and you're sweating blood. Like, some things are curl up in the fetal position and die and hurt and agonize and feel close to the Lord because I want freedom. I am going to be free. I want to be free. I'm going to be free. I'm going to be free. And I'm not letting go till I'm free, all the way free, all the way free. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to lay here, and I'm going to die. I'm going to feel it. Because I am going to be free. Some things are that, guys. I've had a whole lot of that. I've had a whole lot of that. Man, you feel close to the Lord in that, right? What's that guy, Glenna, that sings that song I love so much? What is that song? Yeah, Rich Mullins. He goes, hold me, Jesus. I'm shaking like a leaf, right? He wrote that song during a time of saying, he was in a motel room, he wanted to be tempted. He goes, I wanted to be tempted, so I walked around town. Like, he was so honest about that song. He had a buddy in his motel room with him, he brought to hold him accountable, and he goes, I was waiting for him to go to sleep so I could go be tempted. I love him. I love him. And he walked around town, couldn't find anything, nothing would work out for him, and he got back to his room, and he just hurt. And he wrote that song, Hold Me, Jesus. So when Glenna was gone, guys, I wasn't just a powerhouse, studying the Word, commanding, get behind me, kicking the cat. Sometimes it was laying in bed all alone like a skinny little old man saying, Hold Me, Jesus, I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been king of my glory. Won't you be my prince of peace? And I just let him hold me. I feel so close to him in the pain. Jesus, you hurt like no other. I just want to snuggle up to you in this pain. Yeah. Yeah, I'm hurting. I'm hurting with you, for you, right? There's one level of being a Christian, guys, where it's for me. There's another level of being a Christian that's through me. And then there's another level of being a Christian that's as me. Wow. Look out. Right? Look out. There are people we've seen enter a program, and in 1 year, they come out the other side, and they don't look very different. They don't look very different. They don't look like the Jesus. They don't look like a disciple. They don't look like a powerhouse. They don't look like someone that knows how to move boulders, face temptation, hurt with the Lord. It's like a whole year, like, ah. And then we've seen other people enter a program, and in 6 months, they're a monster. Like, they're a monster, a recovery monster. And I love it. And it's like, boom, 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 boom. I love seeing it when people do that kind of stuff. Because it's not about time, it's about growth. And God will take the short way with us if we'll take it. If I can hang on, He'll take me the short way. He loves the short way. He loves the short way. Just few will take it. Most of the time, and in my life too, guys, most of the time, it's a long way. Because little Stanley can't handle it. Oh, he had a craving. Seriously, I would wake up, bong hit, get ready to jump in the car after getting my stuff ready, getting ready for work, bong hit, get in the car, go to work, pull in the parking lot, bong hit, go in, do my job, lunchtime, bong hit, get out of work, bong hit, go home, bong hit, go to bed. Swear, that was my life for years and years and years and years, on top of all the other chemicals and drugs and felonies and stuff that I was doing along the way. That was my low-grade life all the time. That's how I lived. Just imagine what a guy like that has to experience when you get up. Okay, no bong hit. Okay, I'm going to shower, drop in the soap. Weird, right? Eat breakfast. Okay, I guess no bong hit. Get in the car. Man, lights are bright. Things are weird. Not even hungry. Right? Go in, do my job. Everything's all jagged. Everything's raw. Nothing's cool and smooth. Right? Nothing. It's all jagged. Everything's like, I'm all irritated. Lunch, no bong hit. Get out of work, get in my car, bam, like, wow, didn't notice all that dirt all over the car, and boss irritated me more than usual. No coolness, nothing. Go home, nothing. My life's lame. I live this way, dust all over, like, just everything's garbage. And I start realizing the life I was tolerating because I was just high all the time. So I could live a certain way and not even know. Pretty soon I'm like, this has got to give. This has got to change because I'm not high anymore. Like I can see, I can feel. You got to deal with stuff, right? This is what I'm talking about. The kind of pain you got to face one bong hit at a time. Like, oh my word. And whatever you want to change, this is the stuff we're talking about. Doug Weiss, in his Conquer series, says that when we have an idol like that, when we're in pain, we turn to it. When we want comfort, we turn to it. When we're afraid, we turn to it. When we want to celebrate, we turn to it. And I'm like, no, no. May it not be. Let me turn to you. And let me turn to you, God. You're my God. You're the one true God. You're the God standing on sapphire with the flames and the fire and the wheels and the angels and the electricity. Like, you're the powerhouse, man. You're the source. You're the God of love whose image I bear. May it not be ever. I hope it tugs on your heart the same way. If you don't see the future you carry, super hard to resist going back to the past, right? Me and Tony had a powerful conversation today. Rockin', man. Called to this future. Tony's a true leader. 1 John says that when we see him, what? We will be like him. Come on. What? When we see him, we're going to be like him? Like, what? Let me read this to you really quick. Check it out. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. What do you got to overcome, guys? What do you got? What do you got? What do you got? What do you got? What do you have to overcome right now? To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will. Say, I will. I will. That's God saying it. If he says he will, he will. This is his promise. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. There's his promise. God showed me the other day, I was sitting there at the house, and I was having this devotional time. And I'm like hurting. Guys, I'm hurting, man. I'm a man, too. I'm over there 10 days by myself. Come on. Right? I face some stuff. Blood still running through these veins. I'm real careful, though, in my private life to honor him. Super careful. Because I love him so much, and it means so much to me, what he's done for me, what he's set me free from, what he promises me. It just means so much to be in his family. But I asked him, you know, God, what about me? What if I overcome? Right? What if I overcome? And I won't go into it now because then maybe we'll get all distracted into this. And I don't want it to be about that. But he showed me crystal clear. Stan, if you overcome, I promise. You keep me at the center of your life. You keep me at the center of your life. I promise you will not be disappointed. That was it. I promise. You won't be disappointed. That's all I'm going to tell you. And I'm like, I was bawling. I'm like, whoa. And so I close with this scripture. It says this. Matthew 17, verse 2, I'll just go to that. It says, there he was transfigured before them. This is who we're going to be like. Okay, here you are. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. We talk about walking out our true identity. I'm telling you, we are in for it. This is going to be a wild ride. We are called to be more than conquerors. More than conquerors. We're going to go through God's recovery program step by step, and I hope this really challenges you and just blesses you. This blessed me. This blessed my socks off this week. I just stared at this all week. You know? I just want to honor him in my life and just pay that price too and feel it hurt. Face it down. Yeah, good. Yeah, I like it. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much that one day we will be able to walk in your presence and just give you a great big hug and be part of the family and take our rightful place. We truly are, right now, we truly are the sons and daughters of God. Thank you, God.
I sing a song.